Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. We're just going to read text 8. Satyam daya tapasocham. Tidikshaksha samodamaha. Ahimsa brahmacharyam cha. Tyaga swadaya arjavam. Satyam, speaking the truth without distortion or deviation. Daya, sympathy to everyone's suffering. Tapa, austerity, such as observing fast at least twice in a month on the day of Ekadasi. Socham, cleanliness, bathing regularly at least twice a day. Morning and evening, and remembering to chant the holy name of God. Tatiksha, toleration, being unagitated to seasonal changes or inconvenient circumstances. Iksha, distinguishing between good and bad. Samaha, control the mind, not allowing the mind to act whimsically. Dhamma, control the senses, not allowing the senses to act without control. Ahimsa, nonviolence, not subjecting any living entity to the threefold miseries. Brahmacharyam, continence or abstaining from misuse of one's semen, not indulging in sex with women other than one's own wife, and not having sex with one's own wife when sex is forbidden, like during the period of menstruation. Cha-an, tyaga, giving in charity at least 50% of one's income. Swadaya, reading of transcendental literatures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, and Mahabharata. For those not in the Vedic culture, reading of the Bible or Quran. Arjavam, simplicity. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So you should remember all this because it's one of the qualities is remembrance. So there's just a few things you have to remember in this verse. We'll test you after we read the translation. See how many of the 32 qualities you can remember. Of course, easy for Bhakti Alexander because he has the screen right in front. These are general principles to be followed by all human beings. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, observing fasts on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control of the mind, control of the senses, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, reading of scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to the saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, surrendering one's whole self. O King Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. In order that human beings be distinct from animals, the great Saint Narada recommends that every human being be educated in terms of the above mentioned 30 qualifications. Nowadays, there is propaganda everywhere, all over the world, for a secular state, a state interested only in mundane activities. But if the citizens of the state are not educated in the above mentioned good qualities, how can there be any happiness? For example, if the total population is untruthful, how can the state be happy? Therefore, without consideration of one's belonging to a sectarian religion, whether Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, or any other sect, everyone should be taught to become truthful. Similarly, everyone should be taught to be merciful, and everyone should observe fasting on certain days of the month. Everyone should bathe twice a day, cleanse his teeth and body externally, and cleanse his mind internally by remembering the holy name of the Lord. The Lord is one, whether one is a Hindu, Muslim, or Christian. Therefore, one should chant the holy name of the Lord, regardless of differences in linguistic pronunciation. Also, everyone should be taught to be very careful not to discharge semen unnecessarily. This is very important for all human beings. If semen is not discharged unnecessarily, one becomes extremely strong in memory, determination, activity, and vitality of one's bodily energy. Everyone should be taught to be simple in thought and feeling and satisfied in body and mind. These are the general qualifications of a human being. There is no question of a secular state or an ecclesiastical state. Unless one is educated in the above mentioned 30 qualities, there cannot be any peace. Ultimately, it is recommended. Shravanam kirtanam chasya smarnam mahatam gate svevej ya va natir dasyam sakyam atma samarpanam. Everyone should become a devotee of the Lord, because by becoming a devotee of the Lord, one automatically acquires the other qualities. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavad akinchana savarganas tatra samasate sura haravaktasya kuto mahagunan manorite nasati davato bahi. To one who has unflinching devotional service to Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are constantly manifest, or consistently manifest. However, he who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualifications because he is engaged by mental concoction and material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. The Bhagavatam 5:18-12. Our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, is all-embracing. Human civilization, to take it very seriously, practice its principles for the peace of the world. Translation, which is as long as some purports. These are the general principles we follow by all human beings. Truthfulness. Mercy. Austerity. Does anyone recognize any truthfulness, mercy, and austerity? Anyone recognize them? Ever hear them before? Yes. And which one is left out? Cleanliness, yes. What's that? Yeah, it's in the verse, but it's not just, it's not one of the three original, first ones that are mentioned. Three first ones that are mentioned are part of the four pillars of religiosity. And the other one, socham, is mentioned too. Bathing, observing austerity, observing fast on certain days of the month, bathing twice a day, tolerance, discrimination between right and wrong, control the mind, control the senses, nonviolence, celibacy, charity, reading scriptures, simplicity, satisfaction, rendering service to saintly persons, gradually taking leave on unnecessary engagements, observing the futility of the unnecessary activities of human society, remaining silent and grave, and avoiding unnecessary talk, considering whether one is the body or the soul, distributing food equally to all living entities, both men and animals, seeing every soul, especially in the human form, as a part of the Supreme Lord, hearing about the activities and instructions given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of the saintly persons, chanting about these activities and instructions, always remembering these activities and instructions, trying to render service, performing worship, offering obeisances, becoming a servant, becoming a friend, surrendering one's whole self, O King Yudhisthira, these 30 qualifications must be acquired in the human form of life. Simply by acquiring these qualifications, one can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, Prabhupada mentions here that by following these principles, there can be peace. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavanaha nacha pavyantak shantir ashantasya kutaksukam. That for one is not in divine consciousness or Krishna consciousness. See what changed the translation of that. So one who is not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. How can there be any happiness without peace? In other words, these principles are not just meant to be followed because we're meant to be following them. They're meant to help us become Krishna conscious. And without being Krishna conscious, one can not have a controlled mind nor a steady intelligence, without which there's no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? Anyone who identifies themselves with their gross and subtle body can't be peaceful, because the material world is just all bad news, practically speaking. Maybe there's 1% good news. The good news is that there's no bad news today. But other than that, all the news is bad. No one is, nowadays, is coming back from the dead. People are dying, but no one's coming back from the dead. He died, but this good news is he came back. No one is avoiding growing older. We never found anyone growing younger. And no one's avoiding disease. Disease, everyone is diseased all the time, feeling a lack of ease. And no one is going to avoid taking birth somewhere again, appearing somewhere. And that will be according to one's activities. And therefore, we can expect that in general, people will have a very auspicious next lifetime. As their lifetime is inauspicious, at the present time, so their next life will also be inauspicious. But in order to counteract that, the problem is material existence, there are qualities that can be developed. It's not a question of acquiring money or even a particular talent. That will not save us. We may become an expert singer, but we never heard of any expert singer entering into the kingdom of God because he was an expert singer. One can become expert in how to deal with people even, or any other. One can be a vegetarian throughout one's life, which is appreciated even in this verse, but that will not be a qualification by itself entering into the kingdom of God. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his kirtans in Shiva's Anga, then there was one brahmachari came. And he wanted to see the pastimes. So he hid in Shiva's Anga, in Shiva's Thakura's house. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's giving, actually Shiva's Thakura allowed him because he was a first class brahmachari. He only drank milk. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing his ecstatic kirtan at night, and he stopped the kirtan and said, I don't feel any ecstasy today. Something's wrong. There must be someone here who's unqualified. So Shivas Thakur said, yes, there's one brahmachari here. But don't worry about it, because he only drinks milk, so he's a first-class brahmachari. And Chaitanya said, found him, tell him to throw him out. He said, that's not the qualification for being in my kirtan, being only drinking milk. Cats also do that, but we don't allow them here. Therefore, there may be so many different qualifications that people may imagine they have, that I don't know what they think is going to help them at the time of death. Because most people don't think about the time of death because they don't believe it's ever going to come. It only comes for bad people, but we're all good people, so we're not going to die. We're not going to grow old. We're not going to become diseased. And even if we die, well, everyone may die, but we're never coming back and suffering the results of our activities. But there are good qualities that can be obtained that will counteract the bad effects of being in the material world. And here Prabhupada mentions them, especially emphasizes some of them. Everyone should be taught to become truthful. I don't think this is emphasized very much in modern society, people being truthful. If you can lie and get away with it, then it's considered to be all right. There's no problem. And therefore, the first thing that comes out of most people's mouths is a lie, especially if it's in their, they think it's in their interest. If you ask someone on book distribution, can you give a donation? Their first response, generally speaking, is, I have no money. No, just give whatever you have. All right, I'll give you something. They open their wallet, and they're looking around, trying to see if there's something besides 100 euro notes in their wallet. See if they can find a 5 euro note to give you and get rid of you. He said, well, what about all those 20s and 50s and 100s? Oh, those aren't mine. I'm just holding them from a friend. Really? Where's your friend? Oh, she's back at home somewhere. I don't know. So people just, they're accustomed to lying. Everyone should be taught to be merciful. Of course, that's out of the question. People are killing animals. There's no question of being merciful. They're even killing their children. If they could stop killing animals and their children, then they might have the opportunity to become merciful. And as far as austerity, Prabhupada just minimizes it to the most basic, at least fast on ekadasi. Other than that, people are dying more from obesity in the Western world than they are from any kind of virus. As a matter of fact, because people eat too much, therefore they get sick. from so many things, not only so-called viruses, but also from heart attacks and cancer and diabetes and so many other problems. And the idea of fasting for them is abominable. They think that this is horrible. They'd rather die than fast. Everyone should bathe twice a day. That's really revolutionary. Generally, people don't think bathing is very important. Many people don't think. Some people do. As one devotee told me, in Belgium, they bathe once a week, the whole family. And there were seven people in the family. First, the father would bathe, and then in the same water, the mother would bathe. And according to your age, they all successfully bathed and got some remnants of the previous family member. Cleanse his teeth and body externally, and cleanse his mind internally by remembering the holy name of the Lord. Everyone should be taught to be very careful not to discharge semen unnecessarily. Everyone should be taught to be simple in thought and feeling and satisfied in body and mind. So these qualities are found throughout the Vedic literature, but they're especially in the Bhagavad Gita. Srimad Bhagavatam is an expansion of a book such as Bhagavad Gita, and therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, for instance, Krishna says, Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Socham Arjavam Brahmacharyam Ahimsam Cha Sharira Tapa Uchite. That austerity of the body is to engage in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmins, the spiritual master, superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and nonviolence. So these are all practically mentioned in the verse. So it's cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, nonviolence, tapasya, and anuvega karam vakyam sattva priya hitam chayat svadaya abhyasanam jaiva vangmana tapuchate. Austerity of speech consisting of speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also regularly reciting Vedic literature. So most of these are mentioned also, especially satyam, truthfulness, and svadaya, studying the Vedic literature. And then we have manak prasada sonya tvam monamatma vinigraha bhava samshuti etyetat tato manasamuchate. And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. So how often during the day do we think about how austere I am? Is my mind austere? Is my body austere? Is my words austere? Are they in the mode of goodness? Are we constantly meditating and make sure that we're performing austerity by our body, mind, and words? But that's what this mentions. And we find that if one is actually on the platform of Krishna consciousness, then one will be able to control one's senses and mind. Otherwise, it's very difficult. For instance, it is said that tapasya brahmacharyena samena cha damena cha, that the beginning is tapasya. Unless one is willing to perform tapasya, control the mind and senses. Brahma, he performed tapasya by meditating on the sound of tapa, fixing his mind, controlling his mind, and therefore also controlling the senses. If one is engaged in austerities, as mentioned in this verse and in the Bhagavad Gita, then one can remain celibate. Brahmacharya. Tapasya brahmacharya. And if one has brahmacharya, then it's possible to have samena cha damena cha, controlled mind and senses. Otherwise, it's not possible. And if the mind and senses are uncontrolled, it's impossible to think about Krishna with any kind of concentration. Samena Chadamena. So, I forget the rest of the verse. Yagena Ninamena Va. Other things like Sochama mentioned, I think. Tapasya Brahmacharyena, Samena Cha, Damena Cha. Tyagena, Sama Socham Cha, Yamena Niyamena Va. So other qualities also can follow if one is actually in the platform controlling the mind and senses. Then one can be clean and truthful and everything else can follow. Otherwise, this idea that I'm going to become Krishna conscious and I can do whatever I like is impossible. It's not, therefore, Prabhupada introduced deity worship. Deity worship so we can become clean and regulated and we can serve Krishna and in that way control our mind and senses by following the regulations of deity worship. And by such regulations, one will be able to have a peaceful mind and therefore be able to think about Krishna. Now Vishwamitra Muni, he was trying to engage in controlling his mind and senses by austerity alone, without Krishna consciousness. And therefore, when he heard the ankle bells of Menaka, he became attracted. On the other hand, Haridas Thakur, because he was being a perfect devotee, in spite of the fact that even Maya Devi herself came to personally attract him, he was unattracted. Instead, he converted Maya Devi into a devotee, which is no small thing. Give Maya to chant 16 rounds, you're doing pretty good. Because she's already a devotee. She's the wife of who? Who is Maya? Shiva. Yes, she's the wife of Shiva. And therefore she's always chanting Ram, 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 because Lord Shiva is a devotee especially of Ram. He's also a devotee of Krishna, but he meditates on Ram. And so she was always chanting Ram, 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 but by Haridas Thakura's mercy, she began to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So Prabhupada writes about as far as celibacy in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 6, verse number 13 to 14 in the purport. To realize this Vishnu Murti within the heart, one has to observe complete abstinence from sex life. Therefore, one has to leave home and live alone in a secluded place. Remaining seated is mentioned above. One cannot enjoy sex life daily at home or elsewhere, attend a so-called yoga class, and become a yogi. One has to practice controlling the mind and avoiding all kinds of sense gratification, of which sex life is the chief. In the rules of celibacy, written by the great sage Yajnavalkya, it is said, Karmana manasa vacha sarva vastusu sarvada sarvatra maituna tyago brahmacharya brahmacharyam prachakshate. The vow of brahmacharya is meant to help one completely abstain from sex indulgence in work, words, and mind at all times, under all circumstances, and in all places. No one can perform correct yoga practice through sex indulgence. Brahmacharya is taught, therefore, from childhood, when one has no knowledge of sex life. Children of the age of 5 are sent to Gurukul, or the place of the spiritual master. and the master trains the young boys in the strict discipline of becoming brahmacharis. Without such practice, no one can make advancement in any yoga, whether it be dhyana, jnana, or bhakti. One, whoever follows the rules and regulations of married life, having a sexual relation only with his wife, and that also under regulation, is also called a brahmachari. Such a restrained household or brahmachari may be accepted in the bhakti school, but the jnana and dhyana schools do not even admit household or brahmacharis. They require complete abstinence without compromise. In the bhakti school, a household brahmachari is allowed to control sex life because the cult of bhakti yoga is so powerful that one automatically loses sexual attraction they engage in the superior service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:59 it is said, Vikshaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinam rasa varjam sopyasya puram drishva nivartate. Whereas others are forced to restrain themselves from sense gratification, devotee of the Lord automatically refrains because of superior taste. Other than the devotee, no one has any information of that superior taste. As it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyasparsheva saktatma vindatmini yatsukam sabrahma yoga yuktatma sukam akshayam ashnute. Such a liberated person is not attracted to material sense pleasure, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized person enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. Sri Dravunacharya, a great devotee in Krishna consciousness, said, Idavadi mamachetit Krishna padaravinde navanavarasa damanyut yatam ratim usasit tadavadi patanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukha vikara shusti nishtivanam cha. That's Bhagavad Gita 5:21. I'm going to look it up. Translation's there. Since I've been engaged in the transcendent loving service of Krishna, realizing every new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. Person in Brahma Yoga or Krishna consciousness is so absorbed in the loving service of the Lord that he loses his taste for material sense pleasure altogether. The highest pleasure in terms of matter is sex pleasure. The whole world is moving under the spell, and a materialist cannot work at all without this motivation. But a person engaged in Krishna consciousness can work with greater vigor without sex pleasure, which he avoids. This is the test in spiritual realization. Spiritual realization and sex pleasure go ill together. A Krishna conscious person is not attracted to any kind of sense pleasure due to his being a liberated soul. So that's what we're trying to become, a Krishna conscious person, and then we won't be attracted to this material sense pleasure. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.